I love the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. I love the way He puts things together. I love the way He does things. I love the way He found a wife for me. I went to ORU in 1975, and I had already been to college for a few years. I was out of high school, college for a couple of years, worked for a couple of years, and then went to ORU. And at the time that I went to ORU, we have brother-sister wings there. And my brother wing was connected to a sister wing with Terry Copeland on it. Terry Copeland had just graduated from high school. Look at the timing. Look at the orchestration of the Holy Spirit putting us together at the right time, at the right place, and really opening the door for me to come here in 1976 to work a summer job at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and that summer job has never stopped. It's gone on and on and on and on. How good is God, everybody? He's very good. He's very good. Well, let's pray over this message today. And I do want you to open your Bibles and get your notebooks out and get ready to take some notes, because I'm about to pastor you. Not pester you, but I'm about to pastor you. And with the message that the Lord has given to me today to give to you. Father, we come before you and I thank you for this opportunity to deliver your word to these men. And we praise you and glorify you for all that we've heard today so far. All of the great and wonderful word that has gotten down into our spirits. And right now I pray for them. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever they are dealing with in their lives, you have answers and you have direction. Father, you have just the right and the perfect way that you have for them to deal with that issue and to rise up victorious over it and in it. And I thank you, Lord, that what good work you started in us, you'll perfect it, develop it, and bring it to full maturity to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our path is like the light of dawn that grows brighter and brighter every day. And thank you for this time that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want you to open your Bibles first of all to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And as you get over there, I'm going to have you write something down if you are taking notes. But 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 5. And when you get there, then I want you to write this down, because this is what we're talking about today. And really the whole theme of what this day has been, I am able, I am victorious. Now write this down. I am able to hear the voice of the Lord. I am able to hear the voice of the Lord. Because of that, I am victorious. I am able to hear the voice of the Lord. Because of that, I am victorious. I want to spend a little bit of time talking to you today about how to hear God's voice. How to hear the voice of the Lord. That is something that I so hunger after. I so desire. And in the position that I hold as a man, a father, a husband, a CEO, a pastor, in all of those respective positions, I need to hear the voice of the Lord. We need to hear the voice of the Lord as we lead our families, as we do what we do on a daily basis. I want to hear more and more what He has to say about all of the issues that we face and all of the things that we go through, to be able to be so crystal clear in hearing that voice, in both communing with the Father and hearing His voice speaking directly to us. I am able to hear the voice of the Lord, and because of that, I am victorious. Because the voice that I am hearing is the voice of victory. The voice that I am hearing is the voice of clear direction. The voice that I'm hearing is the exact and precise path that I am supposed to take and the things that I'm supposed to do. I want to hear His voice above all others. I want to hear His voice above every other voice that there may be. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Talking to me, directing me, helping me. I want to hear that voice. I want to have what is called a hearing heart. A hearing heart. And that really comes from this in 1 Kings. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. And it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon and sacrificed there." I'm actually starting verse 3. "And the king went to Gibeon and to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. Verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.'" Ask what I shall give you. What is it? What is it that you want? Now we find here that David had just finished his reign as king, and Solomon is now stepping in. And this was the answer that Solomon had in verse 6. He said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for in multitude." He said in verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who's able to judge this so great a people?" Now, when you see there, understanding heart, there's a cross-reference in my Bible to the Hebrew. And the Hebrew means hearing. Hearing. He said to him, "Give thy servant a hearing heart." Say that with me. Give thy servant a hearing heart. He asked for a hearing heart that he might discern between good and bad. And then he said this, "For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Verse 10, "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked for this thing. And God asked, and God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing, and has not asked thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself an understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given you a wise and an understanding or hearing heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee. And I've also given you that which you've not asked for, riches, honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all thy days. And if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days." So we see here, verse 9 again, "Give therefore thy servant a hearing heart, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon has asked this thing. And when it pleased the Lord to do that, and he said, "Because you asked for this, because you asked for something as important as a hearing heart, an ability to hear the voice of the Lord, everything else follows right behind it." It follows right behind it. So you can see how important it is to the Lord that we hear his voice. We're able to discern between good and bad. I read this scripture, of course, a number of times before this particular instance took place. But I read this scripture especially in August of 1988. You know, I'd begun work here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries in 1976. There were 12 people on staff. And I was the first artist, in-house artist. Brother Copeland knew that I was an artist when I was at ORU. And when he asked me to come to Fort Worth, he asked me to start his in-house art department. And I had every intention of going back to ORU. Well, that didn't happen. Because midway through that summer of 1976, Brother Copeland came to me and he said the Lord had been dealing with him about me. And he said he wanted me to pray about whether or not to stay or to go back to school. He said the ministry was just going on radio. He said things are really starting to ramp up. And he said, I just want you to pray. I just feel like you need to stay with me. Well, I made the decision to stay. Terry went back to school. She went back to ORU without me. And that was hard. That was difficult. And that particular fall, before she actually came home from school and stayed, that particular fall was very difficult because I had questioned whether or not I had made the right decision. You see, I just came from the premier ministry of the world, Oral Roberts University. The university, the outreach, the television ministry, he was a preeminent minister of his day. And I came from this campus with thousands of students on it and all kinds of television being produced. And I came to a little ministry that had about 12 people on staff, and here I am. And the girl that I wanted to marry was going back off to school. And it really did make me question. But as I look back on that now, and I see where the Lord has taken me, I don't question that decision one bit, not one bit. It was the right decision to make. But as I progressed in the ministry, I was going along in 1976, 77, 78, 79. All of those years were major growth times for this ministry. You know, they still are. We're still growing. We're still expanding. We're still enlarging. It's pretty amazing. But all those years, I'm working. I'm working on the road with Brother Copeland. I'm working back in the office in the art department. And the art department's growing and it's becoming the publications department. And we're just growing in size and the people. So we get into the 80s. I mean, I look back on all of those years and it just seems like things were going so fast and so quick. And we got into the 80s. And all during this time, I had one boss, just one boss, is Gloria's brother. And he was the CEO of the ministry. And he and I developed a very close relationship. He just went home to be with the Lord this past year. And just had such a relationship with him. And that relationship developed. It wasn't good at the beginning because I was the boyfriend. I was the boyfriend coming in and he had to put up with the boyfriend. I didn't know. I thought I was working directly for Kenneth. And when I got here, I was so shocked when there was this other man that I was working for. So it was kind of a rough start when he and I first began. I was having to prove myself in so many different ways. But all I did was be a servant. All I did was be faithful. All I did was be loyal. All I did was I kept my sleeves rolled up and my head down, and here we go, just doing my job year after year after year after year. And it was in 1987 in the fall when my boss, Doug Neese, called me into his office. And he said, George, he said, I'm getting ready to leave the ministry next year, next August. He said, I'm going to leave and you're going to take over. And it shocked me. I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned by that. And so he told me, and this is the fall of 1987. He said, now I'm telling you this, I don't want you to tell anybody, including Terry. That was hard. That was hard. So I went through that whole fall of that year. I didn't tell anybody except I told one person. I broke my promise, but this was my dad who lived in Massachusetts and we go there every Christmas to be with them. And I just had to tell somebody this was coming. And so this was the day before social media or internet or anything. So I knew word would not get back, but I just had to talk to my dad. And so my dad was able, and you know, that's really something about a communication with a father, for me to be able to talk to my dad and let him know something that I'm not supposed to tell anybody. But I felt like I could tell my father. And he was so supportive. He was so good to me. And that following year, in May of 1988, I was made the assistant executive director. And then in August, Doug did what he said he was going to do, and he left. And we had a ceremony over in the chapel building. Brother Copeland called all the staff together, and Doug was there, I was there, and Doug was giving his final parting words. And then Brother Copeland turned to me, and he laid hands on me. He gave me a Bible. It's not this one. I go through Bibles. until they fall apart. So I've got this Bible that he gave me is at home, and he had written something on the inside about the assignment now that I have of overseeing the administration of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Well, he prayed over Doug, and then he laid hands on me. After he laid hands on me, and there were the staff was there, I disappeared. I ran. I was so scared. I ran down to my office, which was on the bottom floor, that's where the church offices are right now. I ran down to my office that I had down there, and I literally got under the table. I got under the table, and I just buried my head, and I said, "What have I done? What am I getting into?" It was daunting. It was daunting. Imagine Brother Copeland coming to you and saying, "You are taking over this entire thing." And back then it wasn't this entire thing, but it was pretty big. And it was pretty big to me. I was 35 at the time. I just turned 35 and given this responsibility. And the Lord was so good to me because he led me to that scripture. He took me to this scripture because I so identified with Solomon. Here I was in the same way that God came to Solomon in a dream. And he said in verse 7, "Oh, now, O Lord, my God, you have made me thy servant king instead of David, thy father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in." That's exactly the way I felt. That's exactly what was going on, because Doug was my boss for 13 years. 13 years. And he ran the place. And he was such a guy of confidence, such a great man of God. And just, you always could rely on him and look to him and just have confidence in him and the decisions that he was making and just everything. He just seemed to have it all. And then all of a sudden, I've got this position. I've got this position. I felt just like Solomon felt. I did not know how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted or for a multitude. Well, back then we could count the number of staff, but still, I was given that responsibility. But then he said this, "Give thy servant a hearing heart to judge thy people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And it said the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. So I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm asking you for a hearing heart. I need to hear from you. I need to hear your voice. I need your direction. I need anything to help me to be able to do this." And at the same time, my children were growing up at that time. I needed to hear the voice of the Lord for them. And for my wife, for my family, I needed to hear the voice of the Lord. And so the Lord began to help me with that. And he began to lay out some things. And even some of the things I'm sharing with you in this message came out of that experience with the Lord in 1988. And I was reading through these notes and adding some things and sort of editing them and thinking to myself, I'm still the same way. I'm still the same way. It's a little bit different, though, now than it was back then. 30 years makes a difference in experience, in wisdom, and the experience that I had back then when I transitioned from being, well, I was pastor and CEO for several years, and then I became the pastor, full-time pastor, and Kenneth's son took over as CEO. I was totally relieved because it was eating my lunch. I appreciate what the Lord was doing, but still, it was really, there was a lot of things going on. But this word means more to me now than ever before. And I believe it means more to the Lord that men of God hear the voice of the Lord. That they've got a one-on-one relationship with him. That whatever is going on, he will give you the direction. He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the answers. We all need God's answers. We all need his direction. We all need the leading of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. I do. I do. I sure do. We need God's perfect will and his perfect plan. We need to understand the transitions of our lives. And we need to be sensitive to when a transition is coming up. And when we're ready to make a move or to make a shift or something is taking place, and we don't want to waste our time spinning our wheels or wandering in the wilderness, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. That's my hunger. That's my desire. We must have accurate, precise, exact knowledge. Precise knowledge. Targeted knowledge. To become skillful at the word of righteousness and to become skillful at hearing the voice of the Lord. I've watched Brother Copeland for all of these years, 43 years. I've studied him. I've watched him. And I've seen that man become more and more and more accurate in hearing the voice of the Lord. There have been times when I'll have conversations with him, even to this day, even in the position that I now have, both again as CEO and pastor, over all of the administration, over all of the ministry, the church, the Bible school. And there are times when he and I will sit down and have conversations together. And we'll talk about some issue or something that's going on or some answer that we need. And I've watched him and I know him enough that we'll be sitting and discussing this with each other. And it'll come to a point in the conversation where he'll get real quiet. And the temptation is to say something in the midst of that quiet. To try to inject something or say something. And I have learned over the years. I mean, there was one time, I learned this a long time ago, but when I was publications director, I'd hired an editor, and the editor and I were sitting in before Brother Copeland at his desk talking. And so this editor had asked a question about something, and Brother Copeland just got that real quiet on him. What's he doing? He's listening to the Lord. He's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the inner man. Well, Brother Copeland was doing that. He just got real quiet. And this editor kept talking. And I'm like, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. Finally, I kicked him under the chair and said, stop. And Brother Copeland just got into that real quiet place and he just began to speak. And he began to speak out of that place of the Spirit, even to this day. To this day, when I'm sitting there with him and he puts his hand over his heart like this, I'm like, we're all listening to what the Lord is going to say. We should be doing more of that. We should really be doing more of that. We should really be doing more of this. And why does he do this? He's looking inward. He's looking inside. And I've watched a man of God become more and more proficient through the years at hearing the voice of the Lord. And he'll even tell me, he said, George, I know the voice of the Lord. I know the voice of the Lord when I hear it. Wow, don't we all want to grow to a place in our lives where we can confidently say, I hear the voice of the Lord. We all need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Every one of us. Every one of us. But there are people that will come to me and people that will think this. Well, you're Brother Copeland, or you're Pastor George, or you're Jerry Savelle. You hear the voice of the Lord. But what about me? Well, God is no respecter of persons. Neither is he respecter of sons. We're all sons. And he wants to talk to us. He wants to have conversation with us. He wants to reveal to us. And there is not one person in this room that I'm talking to today that you are exempt from hearing the voice of the Lord. Not one. Not one. Not one of us. But the key to it is the development. It's the development of that. And to really, to do what it takes to be able to hear his voice. So the question is, Pastor, how do I hear the voice of the Lord like you do? Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Let's go through this together. Proverbs chapter 20. In Proverbs 20, in verse 12, Proverbs 20, 12, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. The ability to hear the voice of the Lord. And let me make this statement to you. You can write this down. We were created to hear God's voice. You and I were created by God to hear Him. Don't ever question that ever again. Don't ever say, well, I don't hear the voice of the Lord. I don't hear what He's saying to me. Don't say that again, because that's available to each and every one of us. That is part of the benefit of being born again. That's part of the benefit of being a child of God, is to be able to get instruction from Him and direction from Him. We need it. We have to have it. I have to have direction for family. I have to have direction for the ministry, for the church, for the Bible school. I've got to hear the voice of the Lord. But I'm reminded that it says here, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God created both of those. So say this after me. I have been created to hear God's voice. And I found a couple of scriptures that let me give you the scripture verses that you can write down. For instance, in Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them and said unto them. And it goes on, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. Those were the first words that God spoke to man. Those were the first words that the human ears ever heard, the blessing. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. Those are the very first words that man heard that set the precedent for the rest of humanity. Those are words from the Lord that were spoken and then written in the book. But God blessed them and He said to them. In Genesis 2:16, it says, the Lord commanded the man, saying. See, we're seeing here that there's a relationship going on. There's a one-on-one relationship going on, and there's a communication that's taking place. In Genesis 3:8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Even though they had done what they had just done, they're still hearing the voice of the Lord. And that's so important. That's so important for us to know. There's so many men in particular that, well, my wife hears from the Lord, but I don't. Stop that. Don't say that anymore. We seem to think and have bought the lie of the devil that women are the only spiritual ones. There should be no competition between us. Men this, women that. There should be no competition, but there should only be compliment. Not competition, but compliment. We should be complimenting one another. I'm very grateful to be in a marriage where we compliment each other. The two have become one, and I've learned over the years how to appreciate the giftings that are in my wife. And she's learned how to appreciate the giftings that are in me. And the two of us, we're two different people. We even act differently from each other. Yet, in our marriage, there's a complement between us that we are able to commune with each other and talk to each other and hear from each other. But it wasn't always that way with us, because early on in the marriage, I started getting jealous at what she was able to do. The way she spoke, the way she was able to deliver the word. She was really operating from a place of a prophet teacher. And of course, some years ago, Brother Copeland laid hands on her for the office of the prophet. She operates in the office of the prophet. That's why she does what she does. That's how she speaks how she speaks. She teaches out of that prophet's, the prophet's role. And when I was early on in the marriage, I became jealous of that. Jealous of her ability to do that. And that was the wrong thing to do. It's a terrible thing to do. It would agitate me every time she would speak because she was so prolific and could give such utterance and depth. I was jealous of that. And that was so wrong. And I so appreciate the Lord. Even though Adam and Eve had sinned, they're still hearing the voice of the Lord. And I remember one night, we were at it was her grandmother's Bible class. This is a lot of years ago. We were at her grandmother's Bible class, and I'm sitting there listening to her. That jealousy is on the inside. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, George, he said, basically, he said this over a number of times, but basically what he was trying to get across to me was, I appreciate you for who you are. And you have to understand that being in this ministry, I'm a pastor in a world of prophets. I'm surrounded by them. I got them all over me. I'm surrounded by, and all of these people, and even back after I became pastor, I was struggling with some of this because look at all of the people, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle, Creflo Dollar, Bill Winston. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Brother Copeland, Terry Copeland Pearson's, all of those people. And you can just get yourself caught up in such a bad place trying to compare yourself to everybody else. And the Lord finally got through to me, stop comparing yourself to everybody else. I don't need another Jesse. I don't need another Kenneth. I don't need another Bill Winston. I need you to be who you are. And I was so delivered. I was so delivered. Now, the prophetic will operate in me to a degree, but I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. And even before I stepped up here today, I said, Lord, how do you want to do this? He said, I want you to pastor them. Okay? I want you to release that pastoral anointing. There's something about the pastor's anointing. We don't need necessarily another prophet around here. We need a pastor. And the pastor's anointing and how that operates and how it's different. It's different. I come from the same root, but what I do and what I say comes across differently. It's still the spirit of faith, but it's just different. And so I had to get to the place where, and I think that's even in the midst of all of that, the Lord's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's helping me. He's saying, George, stop comparing yourself to others. I need you to be who you are. That's a father talking to a son. And that's what he wants to have for you. He wants to have that same kind of relationship, that one-on-one relationship with you to be able to hear that voice. And I hear his voice, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but I hear the inward witness. I don't hear an audible voice, but it's an inward witness. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but the inward witness, and I hear that inward witness, and oftentimes it's pretty short. It's a statement that he makes to me, like he made to me back in 2014 and in South Africa when he said, I want my church back. Okay. He wants his church back. And then he listed off all the things that he wanted his church to do. But I'm telling you, Whether it's in long sentences or just a few short words, you've got to see yourself hearing the voice of the Lord. And I think sometimes we view our wives, some of us, as, well, they know more than we do, and they do better at that than I do, and I'm not the one that prays. Oh, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. And again, it's not competition. It's not like, okay, 10 points for the men. It's not that way at all. It's just us taking our place. And it begins with hearing the voice of the Lord. He's got so much he wants to say to us. He's got so much he wants to bring into our lives for us to be able to hear him. And that's why I'm so glad I found that scripture in Proverbs 20:12. We were created. I was created to hear the voice of the Lord. I was created by God to hear his voice. So they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. Let me give you this scripture. You can write this down. Psalm 40, verse 6. Psalm 40, verse 6 in the Amplified Translation. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey. I'm telling you today, you have the capacity to hear even better, even more distinctly, even more clearly. You have the ability to hear, the capacity to hear and obey. And then in John 12, turn to John 10. I want you to see this scripture in John 10. This one I go back to often, and you need to take a look at it in John 10. And in John 10, in verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I hear the voice of the Lord. I say that to myself often. I hear the voice of the Lord. I am his sheep. I hear the voice of the Lord. And if you look back at verse 4, when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And I say to myself quite often, I hear the voice of the good shepherd. A stranger's voice I shall not follow. I hear the voice of the good shepherd, and a stranger's voice I will not follow. A voice of doubt, a voice of unbelief, a voice of fear, a voice telling you that you're not going to be successful at what you're doing. It's all going to fall apart. This thing is just never going to come to pass. That is the voice of a stranger. And a devil is a stranger to us. Yeah, that's right. But I hear the voice of the good shepherd. Yes. And the voice of the stranger, I will not follow. So the point being in this, we were created to hear the voice of the Lord. We were created for that. Psalm 85. Psalm 85. In Psalm 85, in verse 8, in terms of working with the Lord on this, you'll have to speak over yourself. You'll have to speak over yourself things like, I hear the voice of the good shepherd, and a stranger's voice I shall not follow. And then this one here, this is a great one to use. In Psalm 85, 8, it says this, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to follow folly. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will hear what he speaks. I will hear it. Say, I will hear it. I will hear what the Lord speaks to me. And in the Amplified Translation, listen to this. I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, those who are in right standing with him. So here's the qualifier to hear the voice of the Lord, to be in right standing with him. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And we've been given the privilege and the opportunity to fellowship with him. I love to fellowship with the Lord. I so enjoy it. I so enjoy getting with him. I so enjoy hearing from him. I enjoy my Saturdays. Because right now my Sunday through Fridays are real intense. And my Saturdays are my days with him. Totally and completely. I sequester myself in my office at home, and I just enjoy my fellowship with him and the things that he'll download to me, the things that he'll say, the things that he will hear. Those are things that are the difference between life and death. The difference between success and failure. And as a pastor, I've gotten into a mode, if you will, every Sunday and then other times, just hooking up with the Lord in preparation. Preparation, I go to the Lord when I prepare for my Sunday services. I go before him and I say, Lord, what do the people need to hear? What do you want to say through them? Use me as a voice to the people that you've given responsibility to me to watch over and to take care of. And I just listen. I listen to that voice. I listen to that small voice. I will hear what the Lord will speak. I will listen with expectancy. Expectancy. I'm expecting to hear. I have expectation. I mean, the next time you have your own personal time with the Lord, listen with expectancy to what He wants to say to you, the direction He wants to give to you. And to have the boldness to be able to hear something from the Lord and go before your family and say, I believe I've heard something from the Lord. And for some, kids will look at you like, wow, I thought that's what mommy only did. No, daddy can do that too. Daddy can hear from the Lord. And as you hear from the Lord, it'll bear witness with your wife or whatever the situation might be. And you'll both be hearing from the Lord. You'll hear the voice of the Lord. I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for He will speak peace, shalom, to His people. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. To His saints, those who are in right standing with Him. Let me give you a couple of things that I wrote down. Hearing God's voice begins with a decision of faith to receive what we were originally created to have. Hearing the voice of the Lord begins with a decision of faith to receive what we were originally created to have. Created in the garden. When God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. The blessing was declared over them. And as that blessing, they were hearing those words. Man was created to hear the voice of the Lord. So it begins with a decision. A decision. And sometimes it's multiple decisions. As you're going through situations, you go before the Lord and say, Lord, I was created to hear your voice. You are the one that sees this from the highest perspective possible. And I need to see what you see. I need to hear what you're saying. I need to walk the path that you have before me. And here's what I wrote down here. Say, I believe.
I receive
the ability to hear the voice of the Lord. How do we hear the voice of the Lord? How do we hear the voice of the Lord? I want to give you, and you can write these down, three ways to hear God's voice. Three ways to hear the voice of the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. This is the first way, and I'll give you the scripture reference and then what it is, and then we'll take it from there. So here's the scripture reference. This is number one. Proverbs 6, 20. Let me get over to 6. Here we go. Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. And then here's what I want you to write beside it. The voice of the written word. The voice of the written word. You need to know that God's word is God speaking to you personally. And that's where it begins. Really, the voice, hearing the voice of the Lord, really is developed by hearing the voice of the Lord in His word. You know, when you read a book by Brother Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or Jerry Savelle, when you're reading the book, you're actually hearing the voice of the person who actually wrote the book. Yeah. If you read the book, The Fillionaire, yeah, by Spencer Nordyke and Cindy, you can hear both of them talking in that book. You can hear their voices coming through. Why? What they are saying is reflective of what was in them. And they're communicating to us on paper, as if in a letter, what was being said to us. If you receive an email or even a letter, back when we used to write letters, and you get a letter in the mail. And that's the really neat thing. That's the neat thing about writing letters and mailing them. When Terry and I had our 25th wedding anniversary, I made a big scrapbook for her of our lives. And I put together, because I kept all of this stuff. And it started when we met at ORU and all of the things that I collected. We wrote notes to each other at ORU and I kept them all. I kept all those notes. And then when she went to school that fall of 1976, we wrote each other. We wrote each other. There's no texting. There's no emails. There's no FaceTime. We wrote each other. I kept all those letters. I kept all the letters. And when I'd open a letter, I'd go to the mailbox, open that letter from her. And I mean, it was, do some of you remember that? What it felt like to get a letter? I mean, think about that during World War II. Guys would get letters from home, precious. And they'd get a letter, maybe from their mother. And they could hear her voice communicating what's in her heart to her son. Or a father. A father communicating. I started the archive here back in 2016. There's actually a room on this property that I pulled together as many photographs and memorabilia of this ministry that I possibly could. It was scattered all over the place. And now I get things from Brother Copeland. When he finds something, he sends it to me and said, put it in the archive. So we've got the archive. And Kelly found something. I don't know where she found it, but she found a letter. A letter that was written from Kenneth to his father the first day at ORU. The details of what was going on. I've got that letter at the house. Hadn't quite released it yet to the archive. And this letter is just talking about the 30-year-old Kenneth Copeland at Oral Roberts University. And I could hear Kenneth's voice communicating to his father. These letters from Terry, our voices were in them. Well, the point being is that the Word of God is God personally speaking to you. And if you can read His Word and hear His voice, that's the first step. That is the very first step to hearing the voice of the Lord. Is by the reading of His Word and hearing His voice in that. It says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, you can substitute the word commandment and law with the word of God. So you could say, keep the word of God. Forsake not the word of God of thy mother. Bind the word continually upon your heart. Tie the word around your neck. And when you go, and this is my paraphrase, the word in your heart will lead you. When you sleep, the word in your heart will keep you. And when you wake up, the word in your heart will talk to you. It will advise you and it will tell you what to do. That's what the word of God will do. And that's why example after example about looking at something in the Word and getting the answer that was needed. The illustration that came to me was about my daughter. And my daughter was in high school at the time. And she was having a difficult time in school concentrating. And she was actually on this particular day, she was getting ready to take a test and she was so fearful of over it. And that test was in music theory. Now my daughter went on to ORU, graduated with a vocal performance degree from Oral Roberts University. But in high school, she's struggling with this. She's struggling with it. So she and her mother sat down at the breakfast table before going to school. And so Terry, because Aubrey was fearful over this test, she pulled out her Bible and she opened it up to 2 Timothy 1:7. And 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So she's communicating this to Aubrey about not being fearful over the music theory test. And she read on and she said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Understand, music theory. Music theory. Struggling with it. God was giving her a sound mind. And you know what? From that point, that was a word. That was the living word. That was God speaking out of the heavens to my daughter through His word. I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's exactly what she needed. precisely what she needed to have. God talked to her that day. And from that point in time, there was a switch, there was a change. Something happened to her. She was no longer fearful of tests. She was doing better in her class. And she actually, as she approached her senior year of high school, her voice was getting better and better. And her greatest desire for the senior class play, which was The Sound of Music, was to play Maria. And there's a lot of competition for Maria. And Aubrey just buckled down the summer before the auditions, and she took vocal lessons, and she worked that sound mind. She worked it, and she worked it, and she worked it, and she went in there, she did her audition, and she got it. She got it. And we would sit there listening to her sing The Sound of Music. Just astounding to us. And here she is now, 33 years old. And I was in Australia, sitting side stage, watching her on her grandfather's platform, leading music at the Gold Coast Victory Campaign. And she's brilliant when it comes to singing, and especially memorizing words. I mean, she's got it. She's got it. You turn a song on the radio, and she's on it. It doesn't matter. And sometimes it doesn't matter if she's ever heard the song or not. She knows it. She's been given a sound mind. A sound mind. And how often the Lord has spoken to all of us through His Word. You know, we were doing this Victory-thon, and I got to tell you, it's just so fresh on our minds. It was so exciting. It was so exciting to do. And but it was tiring. I mean, it was 4 hours of talking at a time and a 2 or 3 hour break in the middle and come back and do it again at night. And so I was sharing with some folks that we went into the Victory-thon with a full layout, and I'm not sure if we got every hour laid out, but we had the first hour laid out, and the second hour, the third hour, the fourth hour, and you'll do this, and we'll do that, and we'll show a video and do that. And we totally went off script by 15 minutes into it. I mean, we were off script. And we are running around just making plans for the next 10 minutes. What are we going to do the next 10 minutes? And the next 10 minutes, the next 10 minutes. 28 hours of that. And so we finished up one night, and it was the night that I had everybody come down, and we were singing and shouting and cheering. And I woke up the next morning. I was tired. I was tired from that. I thought, boy, I think that was Tuesday night. And then we had all day Wednesday to go. But I woke up that morning, and when you go, the Word will lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. When you wake up, it'll talk to you. And I woke up, I barely woke up that next morning, and the Lord starts talking to me about ideas. Now, here, you can do this, and you can do that, and you can do this and do that. Because you wonder, what else are we going to do? But he laid out some things, and it's almost like he was sitting there at the edge of my bed, waiting for me to get up. You know, like you did when you were a kid and your parents, and it's Christmas time, and you go into a bedroom and you just sit there staring at them, waiting for them to wake up. It's Christmas time. Well, that's what Jesus does to us. I'm telling you, if you could see in the Spirit, you would wake up in the morning and look over to the side and see Jesus sitting there going, I was waiting for you to get up. But it's also interesting, and I will not delve into this, but just a tiny bit, but if you can recognize, if you can discern a pizza dream from a spiritual dream. The book of Job talks about God visiting us in the night seasons. And there's been more than one time when I've had a visitation from the Lord in the night seasons and wake up and going, I just heard from God. I just saw Him. Some of them are technicolor. You can tell. They're almost real. They're almost real. I'm telling you, these kinds of experiences He wants us to have. So the first one, Proverbs 6, 20 through 22, the voice of the written word. That's number one. That's number one. Number two, Romans 8, 14. Turn over to Romans. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me read a couple more verses. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or my Father, my dear Father loves me. Verse 16, the spirit of self himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So Romans 8:14, the second one here is the voice of the inward witness. The voice of the inward witness. The primary way that God leads us is by the Spirit of God, or is by the inward witness. Well, now what is the inward witness? It can be described in a number of ways. It can be that still small voice on the inside. That quiet voice on the inside. Or it can be an impression about something, or a prompting, or you sense something about something, or a check in your spirit about going here or going there. It can be a perceiving, to perceive something, a knowing. Brother Hagin has described it as either a stoplight or a go light on the inside. It's you take your cue for something. And it can be very subconscious, very much on the inside of you, a subconscious leading. Now, I'll give you an example of this. This is one that Brother Hagin used. A family of seven had gone out to eat. They'd not been at the restaurant very long when the father suddenly said, I don't know why, but let's go home. I just have an urge, have a prompting, a leading that we need to go home. They rushed home and discovered that a fire had just started. Had they waited, the house would have burned. But the inward witness warned them in time. Amen. The witness of the Spirit. You know, the more sensitive you become to the things of the Spirit, the more you will walk in the Spirit on a very regular basis. And that's what I believe for. I believe for being able to walk in the Spirit all the time. Even though I may be in the midst of something I'm doing in the natural, I'm still walking in the Spirit and endeavoring to hear the voice of the Lord on the inside, the still small voice, or at least the prompting of where to go. There've been a number of times when we'll be going somewhere, and I remember a couple of them in particular. But we were going to leave the house at a certain time, and we were running a little bit late. And so we thought, well, okay, we'll just have to call ahead and tell them we're going to be a little bit late, get in the car and go, and happen upon an accident that just happened. And if you think about it, we should have been there when it did in terms of the involvement of it. But the Lord protected us. He protected us. As you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will lead you and direct you. And that is the voice of the Lord. The leadings of Him are the voice of the Lord. It's like a parent who is watching over a toddler, and that toddler is getting up and just starting to walk, and they'll start walking and they're headed for the wall, and the parent goes over there and the Lord just helped me. So, and kind of pushes them over here, and they'll go for that other wall and pushes them over here. It's the guidance, it's the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit. And there's an inner guidance system on the inside of us that we have to activate. To be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. That's what I say to myself. I am always in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. I'm always in the right place. Even if it's to help somebody or to do something or whatever. I'm under the operation of the kingdom of God. I work for the kingdom of God, as we all do. And I'm among you as one who serves. So Lord, wherever you want to deploy me, this is a military organization. And wherever you want to deploy me, wherever you want me to go, I will go there. I will do that. I will fulfill whatever you need. But I've seen it over and over and over again. I know of a family from this church that they went out somewhere. One time to go out and eat, and before they got to the restaurant, they had forgotten something. So they just, well, we'll just go back to the house and get it. They turned around, and when they turned around, opened the garage door, there were flames coming out of the refrigerator. Now they heard the voice of the Lord, except it was the prompting, the urging of the Holy Spirit, the direction that He gives us. So Romans 8:14, the voice of the inward spirit. And the third one, Romans 10:14, you're in that vicinity, turn to Romans 10. In Romans 10:14, we're talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. And it says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So Romans 10:14, number three here, it is the voice of the fivefold ministry. It's the voice of the fivefold ministry. How shall they hear without a preacher? Let me quote this scripture to you in Luke 24:32. This was after Jesus was raised. He came back. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the scriptures? Have you ever been in a service and you're hearing the preacher, whether it's Brother Copeland or even myself or anybody, and all of a sudden you start getting direction? The Lord starts talking to you. Well, why is that? Well, you are in an atmosphere, a covering, if you will, an atmosphere of the anointing. An atmosphere, it's a supercharged atmosphere. You and I are in a supercharged atmosphere right now. This is a supercharged atmosphere. You know, people talk about not going to church. What they're missing out. Well, I don't need to go to church. I can just talk to God at home. Well, you can talk to God at home, but you're sure missing out on another availability of the voice of the Lord to be able to hear direction from Him. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked to us by the way and while He opened to us the scriptures? We hear direction and revelation in a corporate atmosphere of anointed preaching and teaching. We hear direction and revelation in a corporate atmosphere of anointed preaching and teaching. I can be in a service. I can be in a service with Brother Copeland, and he's talking along, and I'm taking notes, and all of a sudden, I start getting direction. I'm hearing something down on the inside. He's talking to me. He's visiting with me. He's sharing things with me. He is really bringing to me from the pulpit. And see, I'm a gift. Fivefold ministers are a gift. Hebrews tells us that. We are gifts to the body of Christ for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so as I'm speaking, it really is, I'm asking the Lord to use my voice to be a mouthpiece for Him. So He's saying things to you through me. He'll say things to you through the prophet, through the evangelist, the apostle, the teacher, the pastor. As it is right now, I'm the one doing the talking, and I'm the one that this is flowing through. And I'm even standing here talking to you right now, not knowing what I'm going to say from moment to moment, but things are coming out of my mouth. I'm saying things. Well, I believe that they're coming up and out of the Spirit of God for you to be able to hear. That's why it's so important to be in church on a regular basis, to hear from the pastor that God has assigned you to. Because the pastor that God has assigned you to has your instructions. He has exactly what you need to hear. And that's why sometimes people walk out of church and they go, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Why is that? Because you've been assigned to that pastor. And people get upset and angry and offensed, get an offense about something, and they'll up and leave the church. They'll go someplace else and do not realize that they have gone AWOL. They have taken up another assignment. That doesn't work in the military. You can't get offended and go, well, I'm done here in Alaska. I'm going to that base in Hawaii. Rather go that, you go to the brig. That's where you're going to go. But you see, God assigns people to ministers to be able to hear and to be able to feed from them, for them to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. And there are people right now, and I say this really for every church, but there are people that belong in this church that are in another church, and they don't know why they're not hearing from the Lord. Well, the reason is they're assigned to this church. When I pray over those who are called to this church. When I go to the Lord, I say, what do you want to say to these people? He's talking about the ones that come to Eagle Mountain International Church. I'm in intercession for the people of this church to be able to come here and speak a word that's coming right out of heaven through my mouth for them that they need. And so people don't realize. That's why we have to be so sensitive to hear the voice of the Lord. Where are we fed? Where are we fed? Where are we really fed the Word of God? I just happen to be fed by this ministry. And boy, do I like it. What a good meal. And we listen to other people. We do. But as Brother Copeland said not too long ago, we are faith specialists. That's what we do. That's what we're called to. And so it only bears reason that the spirit of faith is in this church. But all that to say, that the Lord will speak to you through somebody that's up here that's speaking. And I'll give you an example, and then we'll wrap this up. This example I told you earlier, executive director from 1988 to 1996. And really, during that time, I knew I was supposed to do it, but folks, it really did. It nearly ate my lunch. I was 35, and a lot of the guys that were working for me were older than me. So there's a challenge right there. The guys that were working for me, those guys were actually people that I worked alongside with, and the next moment, I'm over them. And they tested me. Boy, did they test me. They tried to push my button, get my goat, whatever phrase that you can use. They really tried to see how far they could push me. And it was just really hard. All of the things that I experienced back then, all the things that I was going through, it was difficult. And I was relieved actually by the time I got to be full pastor, because I just needed a break. Well, we're talking about 2017, the beginning of 2017, and Brother Copeland is starting to he's starting to talk to me about changes that he wants to make. And it's sounding to me very familiar that it looks like for me this is about to happen again. And I'll just be honest with you. I didn't want to do it. In the natural, I didn't want to do it. I was really concerned about it. I think I was walking in fear over it. I just remembered the sleepless nights. I remembered the pressure, the stress that I was under. I remember the difficulty that I had with people and all of that. And then I thought about church and ministry again. I was like, Lord, I'm not sure I want to do this. If asked, I just don't know. And it was right at the time of the ministers' conference that we have, annual ministers' conference. So I'm sitting down here, right where Pastor John is sitting. I'm sitting right down there listening to these different preachers, and I'm thinking about all of this because Brother Copeland wants to talk to me after the ministers' conference is over. So great, I got a week now to think about this before we talk. But anyway, I'm sitting down there, and Mark Barkley is preaching. And Mark Barkley, what a great, just great man of God. And he's preaching and he's going along, and I'm sitting there just kind of thinking about what might be. And Mark Barkley gave one scripture, and it was as if the Lord cleared the room and said, George, I want to talk to you. It really did feel that way, that the room emptied out, and it was God speaking to me through Mark Barkley. And the scripture that he used from Isaiah, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And guys, I got to tell you, When I heard that word, it completely changed my heart. I said, Lord, I will do whatever I am asked to do. And it changed it. It was God speaking out of heaven to me from a minister of the gospel. So those are just a few of the ways that the Lord will speak to you. You develop it by the reading of the word. Then you develop the voice of the inward spirit. And then also you listen to the man of God or the woman of God. And you say, Lord, what do you want to show me? That's what I do at convention time. I say, Lord, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me through these men and women of God. Show me what you want me to see. I want you to stand up with me right now. And I want you to do this. I want you just, I think there's just enough of us just to come to the altar. So I want you to come down to the altar to me. And I'll lead you in this declaration of faith. And I need my Spanish translator. Where's Jaime? Is he in the back? Have him come out. Right here. I want to lead them in this confession.
Quiero guiarlos en esta confesión.
But I want our friends from Mexico City to also participate.
Y yo quiero que nuestros amigos de México también participen en esta confesión.
I will read the first line in English.
Voy a leer la primera línea en español. En inglés.
The men will respond in English.
Y todos responden en inglés.
You'll read this line in Spanish.
Y yo se la leo en español.
And they will repeat in Spanish.
Y entonces ustedes hacen la confesión en español.
All right, say this after me. Lord,
Lord,
just like Solomon,
just like Solomon,
I ask for a hearing heart.
I ask for a hearing heart.
Señor,
Señor,
al igual que Salomón,
quiero un corazón
que escucha.
I was created to hear your voice.
I was created to hear your voice.
Yo fui creado para escuchar tu voz.
Yo fui creado para escuchar tu voz.
You have given me the capacity to hear and obey.
You have given me the capacity to hear
and obey.
Me has dado la capacidad, de escuchar y obedecer.
I hear the voice of the good shepherd.
I hear the voice.
Yo escucho la voz del buen pastor.
I will not follow a stranger's voice.
I will not follow a stranger's voice.
No seguiré
la voz de un extraño.
I will hear with expectancy
what you have to say.
Escucharé con expectativa lo que tú quieres decir.
I hear your voice as I read your word.
I hear your voice as I read your word.
Yo escucho tu voz
mientras leo tu palabra.
I hear your voice as I am led by the Spirit.
I hear your voice as I'm led by the Spirit.
Yo escucho tu voz
al
ser guiado por tu espíritu.
I hear your voice as I hear the word preached.
I hear your voice as I hear the word preached.
Yo escucho tu voz
al escuchar la palabra predicada.
Just
like Samuel.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
For thy servant hears.
For thy servant hears.
Al igual que Samuel.
Al igual que Samuel.
Habla, Señor.
Habla, Señor.
Que tu siervo escucha.
I am able to hear the voice of the Lord.
I am able to hear the voice of the Lord.
Puedo escuchar la voz del Señor.
Puedo escuchar la voz del Señor.
And because of that, I am victorious.
And because of that, I am victorious.
Y por ello soy victorioso.
Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now.
Vamos a levantar nuestras manos al Señor.
Let's pray in the Holy Spirit.
Vamos a orar en el Espíritu.
The last thing I want to say is this.
Lo último que quiero decir es esto.
This is a quote from Kenneth E. Hagin.
Esto es una cita de Kenneth Hagin.
All of the leadings I have ever received.
Toda la guía que yo jamás he que siempre he recibido.
Have come out of my spirit.
Ha venido de mi espíritu.
And most of them have come while I was praying in tongues.
Y la mayoría de ellos, esa guianza me llegó cuando estaba orando en el espíritu.
I pray much in other tongues.
Yo oro en el espíritu, en otras lenguas.
It sensitizes my heart to the Holy Spirit.
Hace que mi corazón sea más sensitivo al Espíritu Santo.
Let's take 1 minute and pray in other tongues.
Vamos a tomar un minuto y vamos a orar en otras lenguas.
Hora mashaka brabadebeskere di brabakashto korabasa sabrabakashi. Ariala makashteke di brabakashta karabasa sabrabakashta karabasa. Hori anana mashembra makoshteke veri bisikere di brabakashta karabasa. Kori ala masamra magore bastele veshkere basandere keshi. Ila brabagala basa samra magashtegere de brabakashteke. Hona ma sabre begi de debra bagashta kada da bagashta kada debra bagashta. Hori ana namra makashta kada debra bagashta kada da. Hori ana namasimbre megeshte kiti araba sande. Itaro go sabre bagara ma shamra magale biske di di araba. Hori ana namra magashta kidi di araba sa. Hori ana masamra makashta kari bade biri begeshte ki. Hora masamre mege de brebe de bagada da ma shamba bagada basa. Ana namashomra Goro basembre megeşte kediye de baka. Holy ana namara makashta kara da braba kashta kara da baba. Hore maşamra makale besekedi di brebe gedi de baba gedi baka. Hona masamra makale beşkere de baba şa. Now let's give God praise, everybody.
Vamos a alabar al Señor.
Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Wait, interpret.
What a great day, right?
Qué gran día, man.
Did you get anything out of this?
Se benefició de esto.
Amen. Do me a favor. I'm just going to grab. Put your hand on the shoulder.
Ponga su mano en el hombro de alguien.
Because I believe that something has happened here.
Yo creo que algo ha sucedido aquí.
A band of brothers have come together.
Un grupo de hermanos se ha unido.
Let's pray over each other.
Y vamos a orar unos por otros.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Padre, en el nombre de Jesús.
I pray for the man on my right.
Oro por esta persona
whatever
a mi lado.
His family is going through right
por
now, whatever he's
sea
going
lo que
through.
Sea que su familia está sucediendo,
I pray that he be strengthened.
Que sea fortalecido.
And increased.
Que sea aumentado.
I love my brother.
Yo amo a mi hermano.
And I lift him up before you right now.
Y lo levanto delante de ti en este momento.
His family.
Su familia.
His work, his business,
su trabajo, su negocio.
And I lift him up in the name of Jesus.
Lo levanto de, en el nombre de Jesús.
Grace and peace be multiplied to him.
Que la gracia y la paz sea multiplicada a él.
In the name of Jesus.
En el nombre de Jesús.
Now, if there's anything wrong with him physically, Father, I'm just going to pray. Let's
si
just pray for them physically in the name of Jesus.
Que necesita
be
sanidad.
Healed from the top of your
Ministre
head to the soles of your feet.
Let him interpret with
pray for them. Pray for them physically.
Ore,
they're
ore
healing.
Por ellos. Ore por ellos. Sea una necesidad física.
Now you just pray for one another. Pray for one another.
Oren los unos por los otros. Gracias.
Come on, let me hear you. Let me hear you pray for one another.
Déjeme escuchar lo que su voz se oiga. Raise up your voice. Levante su voz. En el nombre de Jesús. Aleluya. Yes.
Let's pray over our nation right now.
Vamos a orar por nuestra nación.
We'll pray over the United States.
Oraremos por la nación de Estados Unidos.
And pray for Mexico.
Y oraremos por México.
Ora ma shambra ma castele de shekedi di ala makasha. Ora ma shambra mo kore baskedi di ala makasha.
En el nombre de Jesús.
Hela mana namana ma koshtekedi di ala makasha. Ora ma shakara da ma kasekedi di. We receive the move of God.
Recibimos el mover de Dios.
In the United States of America.
En los Estados Unidos de América.
And in Mexico.
Y en México.
A sweeping move of the Spirit.
Un mover de Dios.
Churches rising up.
Iglesias levantándose.
Declaring the word of the Lord.
Declarando la palabra del Señor.
Thank you for the outpouring of the Spirit.
Gracias por el derramamiento de tu espíritu.
Flooding all of these regions.
Inundando todas las regiones.
In the name of Jesus.
En el nombre de Jesús.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory
a Dios.
Praise God. Praise God.
Okay. Let's give a big thank you to Pastor George for holding this event for us. Thank you. A couple of announcements to remind you of.
We're still translating.
We're still. Remember.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure.
I'm used to him being back there.
I know.
Couple
it's
of,
good practice for
it
us.
It is very good practice. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
For when we go over there, right?
Yes.
Sí. Para cuando vayamos para allá hay que practicar.
I didn't know if I was supposed to say that.
Let's switch.
If you don't have a church home,
si no tiene una iglesia a la que usted atiende,
we invite you to be with us tomorrow.
Puede estar con nosotros aquí mañana aquí en la iglesia Eagle Mountain.
Faith Foundations at 9 a.m.
A las 9 será la clase de Fundamentos de la Fe.
And the main service is at 10 a.m.
Y el servicio a las 10 de la mañana.
For those of you that are traveling,
aquellos que están viajando,
we pray for God's grace upon you.
Oramos que la gracia de Dios esté sobre
ustedes. And angels go before you.
Que los ángeles se le adelanten.
And make your path safe.
Y haga su camino seguro.
We pray Psalm 91 over you.
Oramos el Salmo 91 sobre ustedes.
Until we meet again.
Hasta que nos reunamos de nuevo.
God loves you.
Dios le ama.
We love you.
Nosotros le amamos.
And Jesus is Lord.
Jesús es el Señor. Amen.